My name is Josh. I am an associate pastor here at Pioneer Christian Fellowship, along with Scott and Pastor Jeff. And I just, again, am so excited when I get to speak to you guys, because there's a lot of things that roll around in my mind and my spirit that I just, you know, the Lord speaks to you and he tells you things. And I believe that he's given me a word for you guys today. And it's kind of birthed out of where we've been the last couple of weeks. If you have your Bibles with me, if you'll turn to John 1. And while you're turning there, can we give it up for the worship team? Thank you. That was great. Thank you so much, Scott and Andy and the rest of you, for helping us enter into worship. You made it easy. Thank you for that. While you're there in John, it's John 1. We're going to read John 1:14. And it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." This is John talking about God, talking about Jesus directly. He said, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the Son, the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." I've entitled my message today, "Full of It." Look to your neighbor and ask him, "Am I full of it?" Go ahead. I'm sure you got... Some of you said yes, but you don't know what I'm talking about yet, so I assume you're talking about something else. Pastor Jeff just finished an awesome series that he did, a little mini-series called Growing in Grace, and I don't know about you, but I've learned so much about grace in 3 weeks. It was great, and when you read about, or when you hear about grace, and usually like Pastor Jeff was telling us, is we have this notion of what grace is, and he totally blew that out of the water for me anyway. And it's like you think you know, but you really don't have any idea until you really dive into that thing, and then you experience more grace for yourself, and you can start to accept the grace that he's given to you even, and have more appreciation for it. That's what it's done for me anyway. And last week, what was really good, he was talking about enemies of grace. He spoke about how pride could be an enemy of grace. I don't need that. I don't want that. Or how about the opposite of that, that says, "I deserve that. I deserve grace." Or even shame, which can keep us from grace. But one of the things he said in this series last week, one of the things he said, it was towards the end, and it stuck with me, is he goes, "The people out there don't see us as grace-filled people. The people out there don't see us that way. They don't see it that way." And it started to dawn on me. I'm like, why don't they see it that way? But for starters, I will say that was a great introduction into what I'm talking about, because if you don't totally understand grace and understand God's grace for your life, there's no way that you're going to be able to give it to other people. I mean, that's the first start. You got to really understand grace, got to understand it so that you can give it to other people. So what we're going to be focusing on is how we can show grace to other people, and I'm going to talk about some other things as well in that. Now, grace is important. It shows us that, the problem with grace is that, in the Christian world anyway, is like we said, most people don't really see us as grace-filled people. But can I tell you this morning that they should? They should see us as grace-filled people. They should know us as grace-filled people. Now, one of the keys to the gospel thriving is grace. Jesus operated in grace, therefore we should operate in grace. Okay, and when you're looking at grace and you're talking about, do you know it's exclusive to, grace is exclusive to Christianity. Grace is exclusive to Christianity. There is nothing else like grace in any other religion. So if you think about this exclusive mindset, I don't know how I can explain it better than this. If you look at some of you, I don't know if you, how many of you guys are tech guys or like the new phones that are come out, but this right here, this is the Fire Phone. This is from Amazon. They made this Fire Phone, and it's exclusively to AT&T. That's only, but you can't go to Verizon and get it. Sorry, Josh and Jenny. You can't get this phone from them. You can't, because it's exclusive to AT&T. Or some of you guys, if you're gamers like myself, I like played a lot of this game when I was in Bible college. It's called Halo. It's a really cool game about, like, it's very old now, and it's probably pretty stupid, but I loved it growing up. You know, you're shooting aliens and all this stuff, but this was exclusive and only for Xbox. That's the only place you could get it. You couldn't get it for another platform like PlayStation. You could only get it for Xbox. And how about this? If I don't know any of you guys like the show, it's called Arrested Development. It was on Fox for like 3 seasons, and then they canceled it. And when they canceled it, it became even more popular. So Netflix, after like 10 years, decided, hey, let's do a fourth season. And it's only available on Netflix. Now, just as those things are only available for those platforms or those companies, grace is only for Christianity. It sets us apart. There's a quote I want to read to you. I think you'll enjoy this. It says, during a British conference comparative religions, experts from around the world were discussing whether any one belief was unique to the Christian faith. They began eliminating the possibilities. Incarnation, unfortunately, other religions had different versions of God's appearing to them in human form. Even resurrection, there was other accounts that have that kind of claims anyway, that there's people returning from from death. And then the debate went on for some time until C.S. Lewis wandered into the room. I love picturing him just kind of, you know, if you know anything about C.S. Lewis, he was very, very interesting guy. And he comes in the room and he says, what's the rumpus about? Love it. He asked, and he heard in reply from his colleagues what they were discussing on Christianity's unique contribution among the world religions. In his forthright manner, Lewis responded, oh, that's easy. It's grace. That's easy. The thing that sets Christianity apart from any other religion out there or any kind of philosophy is grace. So, again, grace is exclusive to Christianity. You know, we see with Buddhists, they have this eightfold plan, or you look at the Hindu doctrine, they have karma, the Jewish covenant, and even the Muslim code of law. All of these things offer a way to earn approval so that you can be good. Do you guys follow that so far? You have to earn it in order to get it. Only Christianity dares to make God's love unconditional. Only Jesus decided this is unique to you. This is unique to your faith that no other faith can touch because it's unconditional. All you have to do, I love this, in Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is grace that you have been saved through faith, and it is not of yourselves, it is a gift from God. So through faith, grace comes. All you have to do is believe. You don't have to do anything. Now, that's not to say we don't have any fruit in our lives, right? Obviously, we should be doing some things, but that's because you are so thankful for the grace that you receive that you do things for God. That's how it works. You're not doing things for God so you get grace. You got grace. Now you're doing things for God because you cannot believe he gave it to you. Anybody here think they deserve grace? I don't. And that's why I sit here and I go, man, I want to do something for God. I want to do that for him. But these other religions, especially if you see some of those guys with white shirts on and black ties that walk around on their bicycles or, you know, they have their name tags so you know who they are. They're doing those things because it's kind of like what grace isn't. They have to do this amount of stuff and then God will make them pave the way for the rest. That's not grace. That's works. So Christianity is exclusive to it because we don't deserve it. And the one thing that makes it that way is the cross. When Jesus died on that cross, he broke the logjam between justice and forgiveness. He broke that thing that's all tied up in us. And it's like, what do we do to deserve it? He says, nothing. You don't do anything to deserve that. You just get it. I wanted to tell you this morning, Jesus is full of it. Jesus is full of it. Look to your neighbor, say it. Now you're wondering, what is he full of? What is he full of? See, I'm going to explain to you today that no matter where you are in this room, God has something for you today. We have a very big difficulty in this world of demonstrating God's grace. But there's some other things that I think hold us back from that. And I want to get into that. Again, it was John 1:14, and it said, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, that we have seen his glory, and the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. See, it wasn't only grace. It wasn't only truth. I'm sorry, conservative-minded people that are in that camp, Jesus wasn't completely 100% truth. He wasn't just 50%, 75%, 60% truth. And I'm sorry, people who are more on the liberal end of things, Jesus was completely truth as well. He wasn't just grace. See, many Christians today usually find themselves in one camp or the other. Look throughout the church today. It's either extremely grace-filled, and they don't tell them anything. They just say, oh, we love you. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. No truth in there at all. And then we have the truth side that obviously you see that on the news more often than not, of people just strictly telling the truth and there's no grace. So why is that? What are we doing? Why is that happening in this culture of our faith? What is it? And I believe it's because what we're trying to do is a balance. What we're trying to do is like, okay, I got to have 50% truth, and I have to have 50% grace. Can I explain something? It says that he was full of truth and grace. 100% and 100%. When we try to balance this thing, what happens is it's like a teeter-totter, and we're sitting there, and it's like sometimes 65% truth comes in, 75% of truth comes in, or it goes on that other side where it's like, yeah, truth's important, but I'm all grace right now. Do you see where this is going? Do you see the problem with that mind game that comes in? It's like we don't really totally understand being 100% and 100% of God's grace and truth, but you have to have that. Our goal as Christians is to mimic and try our best to do what Jesus did and what he modeled, right? And then we tell about him. That is our goal, is to be like Jesus and talk about him. Be like Jesus, know Jesus, and tell other people about him. But the problem is sometimes we just want to tell people about him, but we don't really want to act like him. Sorry. It's true. Because we think it's too hard. Yes, it's hard, but that's where grace comes in. The truth is that you need to be more like Jesus. But the grace comes in when he's like, man, I love you. I love you. I love you. And we're like, we love you. That's why we're doing this. See, Jesus' methods, they're messy. They're messy. They play with our brains. Because in our sinful nature and as human natures, we don't know how else to explain this because we see things in black and white, and he finds grace in these gray areas that we're like, how? How do you do that? Where does that come from? Why do you have that? Because he was full of it. He was full of grace, and he was full of truth. That's why we always have to have a constant assessment of our lives. We always have to go back and think about, Am I doing this teeter-totter thing of grace and truth? Am I doing this? Are they at odds together? Because what I'm about to explain to you today is they're not. They're actually incredibly complementary to each other. Grace by itself, as I'm going to explain, is useless. Truth by itself is useless. I got to tell you, you know, if we're going to break this down, whether you're in that grace camp today, or you're in that truth camp, or you're not sure, you have something that you can get out of this. I believe it. I believe it. And I believe that Jesus, you know, he didn't talk about grace a whole lot, but he acted it out, and it was in all of his parables. He didn't specific, because it's almost like a thing that we have to wrap our brains around by watching and by hearing and seeing illustrations and stories. It's like he could tell you to have grace, but the truth is that you have to see that. You have to get that. It has to apply to your heart, so that he can work on you. So again, he was full of it. I want you to look at this if you can. Grace isn't fair. If you're taking notes, you can write this stuff down. Grace isn't fair. How many of you have siblings? Any of you? Raise. Go ahead. How many wish you didn't? No, I'm just kidding. You know, if you have siblings, you often said this. That's not fair. Nobody taught you to say that. I have a 2.5-year-old daughter, my wife and I. Her name is Adeline. And there's times where, I love when she does this, but Lindsay, she watches our daughter during the week, and she has a little 2-year-old as well named Abilene. And as soon as Abilene comes into the house, the first thing that she does is go towards Minnie Mouse, Adeline's Minnie Mouse that she got for poo-pooing on the potty, okay? We're big on reward systems, so this was a very big deal for Adeline. She loves this thing. But can I tell you, even before AB gets there and she knows she's coming, she's like, AB, don't take my Minnie Mouse. And I said, well, you need to share, blah, blah, blah. And then the other day she said it. That's not fair. That I didn't teach her that. Well, maybe I did, but it's not. It's not like I told her specifically. It's like, hey, go, you know, that's not fair. She came to that conclusion on her own because our brains are fixed this way to look for justice. Our brains are looking that way. But many of you know life's not fair, and neither is grace. Life's not fair. Neither is grace. You have to remember that because we struggle with this grace thing because we're looking at people through a worldly perception and not through Jesus' eyes. That blows my mind. It should blow yours. It's like, what are you looking through the lens of people at? Are you looking at it through your own sinful nature, or are you looking at it through God's nature, through the way Jesus did it? If we see them based on what they do and not who they are, we have a difficulty of extending grace. I think of the woman at the well, and he's there and he's asking her, can you get me some water? And she's just blown away from the fact that he would even ask her that. I mean, they're not supposed to mix. But see, he goes into that situation and he talks to her. The reason why he talked to her is because he wasn't looking at just what she did and having all these different husbands and all these different men in her life. He's just looking at her and saying, I see who you are created to be. I see God is within you and is wanting to bust out. So he extends grace to this woman, but also truth, as we'll get to in a moment. If you constantly struggle with this idea of grace and you feel like it's not fair, that should be an indicator to you that you're on a teeter-totter approach when it comes to this thing. That's not fair. That's not fair. And it should be an indicator to you so that you can fill up the tank, so that you can fill up with more grace and truth, overflowing as Jesus did. Now, I have a story. I have many of these stories where I've been pulled over, but I'll explain. And I've shared some of them with you before, so I'll share them with you again this morning. Yeah, I have that issue of speeding and stuff. But this time, Pastor Jeff had asked me when I first came here to the church, he asked me if I'd go and visit Don Steffenhagen, who had just had knee surgery, and that was an experience in itself because... Many of you know Don. He has not a huge filter, but when he's on the medications, it's a blast, man. I will gladly come and see you next surgery you have. And I will bring my camera with me and record all of the wonderful things that you said. Anyway. So I'm on my way home, and I'm going down, I think it was 2 Rod Road, and I'm coming back to the church, and I'm all of a sudden, you know, you just had that feeling. I feel like there's a cop in the area. So I like put my cruise control on and I'm like, I'm not going to speed. I'm not going to get busted for speeding. I'm using cruise control. All of a sudden, this guy decides that he thinks I'm going too slow. So he is right up on my bumper. I mean, he's right there. He's flashing his lights and everything like that. And honestly, hindsight, I probably should have just pulled over. But of course I didn't. I set the cruise control a little bit lower than the speed limit. And he is just right on me. And I mean, we get to stoplights, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm just going to make life miserable for this guy, you know, no grace in my mind. And then what happens is we get to a stoplight and he is like so close to me. It's like he's drafting a NASCAR, you know. And all of a sudden I see the lights come on. Boom. A guy pulls him over, and I didn't know what to do, so I pulled over too. So I'm sitting there in my green Ford Ranger at the time, and I'm hanging out the window, and the cop's like, you did nothing wrong, sir. Go ahead, go on your way. Well, I was just so full of joy, because... And you know what I was thinking? Is he got what he deserved. That's what you get, buddy. You know, I came back, and I told Jeff. I told him, I said, hey... He got what he deserved, you know, and he's like, yeah, that's cool. You never see that happen or whatever. And you don't. Rarely that happens. I mean, generally you're going and somebody passes you and you're like, I hope that guy gets pulled over, you know. You're usually thinking that, but here it is, and it happened right before me. And the reason is because in our hearts, we want justice. In our hearts, we want something to happen. But it's interesting because you get pulled over, and what are you thinking? Give me grace.
Give me mercy. It's easy because we want grace and mercy for ourselves, but we want justice for other people. Can I tell you? Grace isn't fair because Jesus did not deserve what he got on the cross. He wasn't there saying, "This isn't fair. I didn't do anything. I never sinned." He never sinned. He took all of our shame, all of our guilt. That's grace. There's no better example of grace than that right there, where he takes it on the cross for you and for me, and it's not deserved. And that's not justice. That's scandalous. That's like a scandal. Wait a second. You took all of this? That's not grace. Or that is grace. That's just, our brains can't wrap around that, and we have to in order for the kingdom to advance. We have to mimic ourselves more after Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke 15, 11 through 31. We're going to read a parable. This is one of his biblical examples of the lost son. If you've never heard this before, I'll just explain it to you a little bit. There's a father. He has two sons. One gets incredibly greedy. He wants his inheritance, and he wants it now. By doing so, he's basically telling his father, "I wish you were dead. I wish you died so I could have my money so I could go do what I want to do." So he leaves and he spends the money on prostitutes and frivolous living and he goes out. Meanwhile, the other son is sitting there and he's just doing everything that he's supposed to be doing. Everything that you could ask. He spends all his money and he ends up living in a pig pen. He comes to his senses one day and he realizes, man, if I beg my father to at least let me become a servant in the house, because he says this, "I don't deserve to be a son." He knew that he didn't deserve it. So we pick up here in verse 20. It says, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" See, he knows what he deserves. "But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost.' So then they began to celebrate." But here we go. Verse 25, "Meanwhile, the older son was in that field. And when he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called to one of the servants and asked them what was going on. He said, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he's back safe and sound.' The older brother," now picture this now, guys, grace, justice. "The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father. He said, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving you, and I've never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill a fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now found.'" Much like that older brother, it's hard for us to extend grace for others when we want justice. We want them to get what they deserve. But then again, grace isn't fair. See, we want justice for ourselves, and we don't want grace, or we want justice for others, and we want grace for ourselves. So it's hard for us to do that. We want to feel justified. We want to feel like right and wrong has happened, and God totally blows that up. Like the older son who has the bad attitude and is obviously in the wrong, but won't give grace to his brother. I think in this whole quest of when we're talking about this, in this whole quest to seek justice, sometimes we sacrifice the gospel because we want justice served. Why else is Dateline such a huge, you know, when you watch To like Catch a Killer, you're like, catch him, you know? You're like, something is in you that just wants justice. And that's fine. Justice is great. But if it's not complemented by 100% grace, then we have a problem. if you're still taking notes with me, maybe you can write this down. Truth is uncomfortable. We have to remember this. Jesus was not cool with sin. He wasn't like, do whatever you want. He wasn't just telling people, go for it. He obviously knew that sin was a barrier between God and man. Yet at the same time, he wasn't strictly focused on just that. And the woman caught in adultery, I love this. I love this. Because again, he blows our minds. It's in John 8, 1 through 11. To give you a background, there's some guys, some religious people. And they're trying to find a way to catch, really, they're trying to get Jesus caught in a corner, but also they want some justice. So they come up to him and they say, hey, we found this girl caught in the act of adultery. Now, I don't know about you, but that's kind of creepy. What were you doing? You know, that would be my question. Like, what were you doing in her house? You peeping Tom? What's wrong with you, you know? And they're like, we're going to stone her. We're going to kill her. You know, Jesus kind of reacts. He kind of gives a, all right. And he starts to write something. We don't even know what he wrote in the sand. Some people think that maybe it was their sins that he was writing. You know, we're not sure what he wrote, but something caused them to go, uh-oh. Then he says, the one among you that has no sin, you can throw the first stone. That's messy, folks. That's messy. That's grace, and that's truth. Whoever is among you, whichever one of you has never sinned, go ahead, throw the first stone. You want to judge? Judge. But what he says is, the measure of which you judge that person will come back to you. I remember when Jeff first told me that, because I had an issue with somebody or whatever, which is common in the Christian world. We're not perfect. And I had said something, and he said, you got to be really careful, because you're judging that person like this, and then somebody's going to judge you like that, because you judge that person. That's truth. And then, after they had left and bailed out of there as soon as they could, he says, where are your accusers? It's cool. I don't condemn you either, but wait. But wait. Go and sin no more. Leave your life of sin. This is Jesus showing 100% truth and grace in the same package. Like I said before, many Christians are comfortable with walking only in truth. But in the same way, we see many Christians who shy away from the truth altogether. And it makes sense. I mean, the reason why we do this is because they're concerned that the people will fear or reject the message. They're fearful that that person will reject the message and in return reject them. Right? That's why we don't say truth, because we're afraid of the outcome of what's going to happen after we do that. But truth is a good thing, in my opinion anyway. Truth is a good thing. See, because there's the truth about ourselves and our own strengths and our weaknesses, our successes, our failures, our opportunities, and our limitations. I think of when I was a kid, you know, I don't know why people do this, but they're like, you can do anything you want to when you grow up. It's like, hey, listen, that sounds good, but I still can't dunk a basketball. I lied and said I was 5'7 for my license. I'm really only 5'6, but, you know. It's like, I cannot do that. You can say that as much as you want, but the truth is I am not tall enough to reach that. That's the truth. And that's a good thing, to know your limitations, right? Yes. That's a good thing. I'm terrible with math. That's a limitation. Hey, listen, that's just how it is. That's how I was created to be. That's a good truth. Or we look at what somebody mentioned, Go Bills this morning. Okay, let's look at E.J. Manuel. The truth is, he has an accuracy problem, okay? That's the truth. But imagine if the Bills organization was just like, it's cool, whatever, throw the ball at the dirt, whatever. There's grace in this place, buddy. No, you got to have the truth, because let's be honest, if we just kept that going, I mean, we'd be even worse condition. Well, we're not sure yet. We'll see the truth. We'll come out today with Kyle Orton as our quarterback. But still, you see where I'm going. How about with doctors? You know, sometimes, what happens if you went to the doctor and every time you went, he's like, yeah, you're good. Go on out. Keep eating whatever you want. You're good. I don't know. I need some truth when I go there. I might not like the truth, but the truth is I need it. It's like, your blood pressure's a little high. You know, you might want to start cutting down on the salts, you know. Or some of you have the cholesterol is high. If they just were operating in grace 24/7, let's be honest, you're going to kill yourself. And they're just trying to offer you this truth. It's like, cut down on the fatty foods, on the sweets and whatever. Or how about when somebody has cancer? There's an element of truth and grace that comes into that and is in play right there. Here's the truth. I have to give this to you. I have to tell you the truth of that. Or how about the truth of the world that we live in? There's that truth of the world that we live in that we can't magically change it. And the truth is, we live in a fallen world. That's the truth, folks. That's why we look at Dateline and we see all these people doing crazy stuff. That's why there's cancer. That's why there's all these issues, because we live in this fallen world that is not perfect and we can't magically change it. Or how about just the truth that we are His and He's desperate for us? It's easy to look at, but truth is a good thing. It's a good thing. See, the truth about God is He's our Creator and He's our King and He has a claim on us. Every single person you look at in the world is claimed by God. That's the truth. I Bucky is very, very passionate about this. And we went squirrel hunting the other day and didn't catch anything, didn't get anything. But we saw a deer, which was cool. A really dumb one, too. It was interesting. But anyway, Bucky was telling me on the way there, he's like, you just got to be really careful of how you talk to other people and how you treat them, because they are claimed by God. They have a purpose and a destiny. And whether or not that's covered up by sin or whatever, it doesn't change that God has a call on their lives. So when you act a certain way to different people and that you're judging them and you're hurting them and you're putting nothing but truth down their throats, the issue is that they need the grace. Jesus did not shy away from having grace and truth. That truth is needed in the equation. I was thinking the other day, like, if my wife... Okay, if she just gave me grace all the time, there'd be an issue, okay? There's times where she has to tell me the truth. You know, honey, that shirt's a little tight. Thank you. I didn't want to hear that, but I know you're looking out for my best interest. See, love is grace and truth together. That's love. And when you are only operating in a truth-centered world on that teeter-totter, the problem is it's not love. And it's pointless. And if you're operating only on grace and there's no truth in the mix, 100%, 100%, it's not love. God is love. And He was full of grace and truth. We need both. It's pointless. It would be pointless. I just think, man, imagine if Jesus never spoke on sin. Can I be honest with you? His cross wouldn't have mattered. And if He only spoke on truth and never displayed grace, there wouldn't be a cross. So what I want to ask you today is, what side of that coin are you on? Which side of the teeter-totter are you on? Thank you, Andy. You can come up. As I close, I want you to really think about, what camp are you in? What camp are you fighting against, at odds with? Because God wants to join those two things together, and He wants it overflowing out of you to other people. That's His desire for your life, is that you have truth and grace overflowing out of you. That you won't even have to worry about, well, do I handle on the grace factor or on the truth factor? You're just like, man, I'm just going to offer truth and grace and allow His Holy Spirit to use me in whatever way He wants. But it takes you to ask the Lord, can you just come to me? Lord, can you come and fill me up? See, it's your responsibility to act, mimic, and talk about Jesus. That's your responsibility. God's given you the call, the Great Commission, love others the way, you know, he's showed us all these things, and now we have to respond to him and say, God, I want that. I want to be like you. And that some of that takes a little bit of realizing that we might not have it all right, that we might not have it all put together. That takes a little bit of humility to say, God, I need you. And don't shy away from those uncomfortable situations. We're about to be on the street here in a couple of hours, and we're going to be holding signs up. And to be honest with you, that's not comfortable. Truth is uncomfortable. But I just want to urge you is that when we step into that and we step out of our comfort zones, that God can utilize that based on your heart. I was just watching a guy on YouTube. I think his name is Jeff Durbin. And what he does is he goes, believe it or not, there's still people who are picketing abortion clinics, but he does it with a totally different attitude. He has a sign. One of his signs says, don't hurt your baby. We will help you. That's truth and grace together. And when he gets in these conversations with people, he ministers to Mormons, he ministers to atheists, and when he does that, and you can see it online, you can go on YouTube, Jeff Durbin, I believe his name is, and you can just see how he communicates with people. He's showing them so much grace, so much grace. He doesn't condemn them, he just asks questions and gets involved in this. And the truth and grace that is manifested in this guy, the way that he does it, is a perfect example of how we should communicate to people in our world. It's like, hey, what do you think about that? He's asking questions. The one guy, he's an atheist, and he believes that we're stardust. And he's like, well, if we're just stardust, why do you care what I think is stardust? Where does that matter? And do you believe in absolute truth? I believe that we're programmed. And there was no salvation call at that moment. But I'm telling you, Jesus still met with Nicodemus. You might remember this. He said, you need to be born again. There was no salvation call in that message either when he did that. Sometimes you just got to go there and give truth and grace to them and let them come up with the realization of where to go. You're not responsible for making their decisions. You're only responsible for what you do. And what you need to do and what I need to do and what we all need to do is operate like Jesus did, 100% truth and 100% grace. Lord, we just come before you and we thank you, God, that you gave us a perfect model of what we should be striving for. Lord, we thank you, first of all, for your grace that you've given to us, although we are so disgusting at times. God, although we are filthy, Lord, you've given us grace that we don't deserve. But Lord, will you help us today, for those of us who are struggling, Lord, will you help us today realize that we need to give grace to others as well. And Lord, for those that are in this place that are just, they're afraid and they're worried, Lord, show them that the truth is love, complemented by grace. I'm just going to ask, if you are in this place, and whichever camp that you're in, whether you find yourself more on the truth side and it's hard for you to give grace, or you find yourself more on the grace side and it's hard for you to give truth, I'm just going to ask that you would stand with me this morning. And I just want to pray that while you are doing that, that the Lord will just fill you up, that he will fill you up. So you're standing in faith to say, Lord, I need you to give me that truth and grace. Lord, I need to get to that. I don't have it all together, God. There's times where I kind of come up with my own rationality of whether that person needs grace or truth. Lord, I need your Holy Spirit to operate in me and to convict me and to show me of how to show your love. So, Lord, we're asking for that today. Lord, we're asking for that. We're begging for that, Lord, today. We need your truth. We need your grace. Lord, I pray for those specific relationships, Lord, that I believe every single one of us has influence in our lives. Lord, I believe all of us are in places that you've actually put us in, and people in our lives that you've actually asked us to talk to. And I pray specifically right now for anyone that has been operating in just the grace camp and they haven't had the boldness to talk about some of the truth, that God, that you would just come down on them right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you'd fill them with that confidence, that you fill them with things that they can say, that you give them specific insights so that they know where to go in the conversation. They know the questions to ask. Lord, I ask right now for anyone that's in this place and they've operated so much on the truth side that maybe there are some relationships that are broken. Lord, I pray that you would restore those. Lord, I pray that you would just bestow your grace upon them right now so they know they're not guilty. Lord, that they're asking for forgiveness. They're asking for more of you. Lord, that you would give them that ability to go into that situation again and have restoration take place for that relationship. Lord, I believe you're a God of restoration. I believe that you want all things made new. I believe that you want us to come together with these people in our lives. And Lord, if it was our own sin that caused us to break that, Lord, that you would restore that and bring grace to that relationship. 100%, 100%. Lord, we want to be full of it. We want to be full of it, God. We want others in this world to look at us and say, I don't know what they have, but I want that. They're nice, but they're genuine and relevant and real. I don't get it. They don't condemn me, but at the same time, they have this truth in it. Lord, we need that. We need that. Lord, I just think of all these encounters that you had with people, even Zacchaeus. Lord, people called you drunk, a drunkard. They called you all these things because you associated with these people. And you didn't condemn them, but there was some truth that was implemented in their lives where they said, I just need forgiveness. Lord, I ask that anointing would just come over this place right now. Anointing of evangelism, Lord. Anointing of grace and truth. Lord, we are Christians because you have loved us. We at one point came to truth and grace. Lord, we realized the truth of our ways were messed up, and Lord, you gave us grace. But Lord, we want to be mirroring your image. We want to do that. Lord, please help us. Please help us. Please help us. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, hey, thank you guys again for coming out here. God bless you as you go. There's going to be some prayer available here this morning. And actually, I'm going to ask Diane, since you received a healing last week, I'm going to ask that you would come up. And if anybody needs a healing specifically, I'm going to ask that you come up with Diane. She's going to pray for you. And if you came with any other need, I'm going to ask that you come forward and give that to the Lord. In Jesus' name. All right. God bless you as you go. Go Bills. Washed away in you. triple tree.